The scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. This story falls in the middle of a cycle of three stories where Jesus is talking about how he won't always be with the disciples and they need to get ready for his departure and learn to live without him until he ultimately returns. So he tells this parable. For it was as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to another 1, each according to their ability. Then the master went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, see, you handed me 5 talents, and look, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you have handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were such a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But the master replied to him, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I would reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested your money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received that as my own with interest." So he took that talent from him and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will be given in abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. I wonder, when you heard that passage, you thought, what is she going to do with this? Well, I tell you, Wednesday I was thinking the same thing. So I called up a friend and I said, are you preaching this talent passage on this Sunday? And she said, "No, I preached it last week." And I said, "Great. Give me your wisdom. Tell me the stories that you used. I'm kind of stuck." And she was silent. She said, I can't even remember what I preached. She said, "I was just glad when it was done." She said, "I had more questions than I had answers." And sometimes parables are like that. They confound us. They make us a bit uncomfortable. Sometimes Jesus told stories, well, probably always, about things he wanted people to wrestle with, things that were important to him and important to them. He knew that stories stayed in people's hearts and minds longer than prose did. So he put stories out there. He didn't interpret them. He put stories out there, and some people went, Others went, A variety of responses. This parable tends to get strong responses from people. Some like it, others don't, many ignore it, Many, it just kind of confounds us. One pastor tells a story about an old Swedish Lutheran pastor in the Midwest who had a small congregation mostly made up of elderly congregants who were literalists of the Bible. They thought every word had to be true. And one of them came up to him after the service and was quite concerned because he was one of those that didn't have any teeth left. But he was pretty sure there were some others in his congregation that were like that third one. And how would they enter into the story because they had no teeth to gnash? Well, the pastor, not wanting to undermine this man's simple faith, said, "It will be fine. Teeth will be provided." It helps trying to understand a story like this, of understanding a little bit of the context from where it came, what they knew when they heard this story. I want to be clear that the relationship between a master and a slave is not like an employee and employer. No. This was a slave who had no rights on their own, who had no freedom to move where they wanted. They didn't get a daily wage for their work. If they acquired money anyway, somehow, it was very little. They never were used to dealing with the kind of sums talked about here. So it's kind of stunning that the master entrusted property and entrusted such a large amount of money to them. I want to try to understand how much money this was. The talent, well, first, it doesn't mean like a talent, like you're a great singer. The talent here is not really a coin even. It's a weight. It's the largest denomination of currency there was. And the thought was it was so large, a muscular person would have to lift it up. They thought it weighed between 50 and 70 pounds. So it's just this enormous amount. One pastor said it's beyond our imagination. So it said it's kind of like back in the day when CEOs were getting big kind of end of the year profits, or now it's like you've been fired but you get a big old gift. It's like that and more. It's about the amount of money you got if you won a tri-state lottery. It's so much money you really can't grasp it. And that's what's so stunning about what they were given. It's not a realistic amount of money. It's amount of money to get our attention and to say, you need to listen to the story. The story tells us that the master went away and he entrusted his money to these servants. And then he came back to kind of get an accounting. And the first one came up and he must have invested that money very well because he said, look, you gave me five and I earned five, and now I have 10. And the second servant came back and said, look, you gave me 2, and I expect maybe he invested wise in the olive oil market, and he said, I gained 2, and now I have 4. And the master said, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You were trustworthy with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. They lived into the master's trust and love. And then there was the one slave who got 1 talent, still an amazing amount of money, and he went and buried it and waited for the master to come back. Now, that sounds a little crazy, but it really wasn't. I mean, probably that's what slaves did when they got a little bit of money. They would go and bury it somewhere so it would be safe. So he goes and he buries it, and at least he has that when the master comes. But, you know, it might not have been so bad if he just did that. But then do you hear what he says? He said, oh, I knew you were a harsh man. I knew you reaped where you did not sow. You gathered where you did not scatter seed. Do you hear what he's saying? I know you're a man that takes things, who steals, who takes what is not his. And so I just decided to be careful. I was afraid. Thinking, can you imagine the amount of trouble he's in now? He's basically said that to the master. And I don't know what goes on, but somehow he decided to blame the master for his own lack of doing anything. He says, it's really your fault. Well, you can imagine how well that goes over. Because we hear that he goes into a place of utter darkness where there is the gnashing of teeth. I mean, he is put away. Don't quite know what to do with that. But I have to trust that there is some insight to offer, some insight about God and the world. So I put this scripture down for a while and then came back to it. And then I thought, what the story really is about risk. About when we try to keep everything we have, or do we risk and give some of it away or use it? William Barclay says, Jesus tells us that there can be no religion without adventure, and that God has no use for a closed mind. That was written over 60 years ago. God wants us to be adventurous. I wonder if the truth is we're a bit uncomfortable with risk. It's not us our Presbyterians' best feature that we're risk takers. I mean, we like things a little tame. We like things in order. We like our surprises planned for. We do. But here we have a story where risk is rewarded. And I think I kind of went for a risk today, but I knew I was getting into that second hymn we're singing. You've never sung it, I bet. It's been sung once here in 20 years. But it's the only hymn that has anything to do with this scripture. And it's a hymn from the tradition of the Korean Presbyterian Church, which we Presbyterians in the U.S. helped to start, and now it's bigger than our denomination. It's a hymn from them. And I want to tell you, no one knows it, so you're all not going to sing it very well. It's a new tune to you. But here's what happens when you risk. You all get to be in this together. You're all equal singers today. That could be a good thing. But maybe you get to really focus on the words today. With whatever talent God has given me, I pledge to use them in service and in love, joined with my neighbor to lift their load. Now, isn't that an interesting way to think about this? And maybe when you sing this hymn, you'll think about those in this congregation that come here and English is not their first language, and yet they're brave enough to come to worship here. Isn't that an amazing thing? Or maybe when you sing this one in a different language, you'll think about what it is like for people who have never been to a Presbyterian church, never been to a church, and come in here, and it all feels foreign. But yet God works in that way, in the new things, in taking of risks. I find myself curious about why did those first two risk? I mean, what was in them? Well, the scripture tells us absolutely nothing about that. I expect that somehow they must have seen possibilities. They must have thought, ooh, I can do something with this. But the truth is, or what I expect is the truth, is when they were investing, when they're playing, I bet they had some losses. I bet there was a time when they were way down, they thought, oh my goodness, am I going to risk it again? Or do I just keep what I have? But something made them risk. The reading that you hear, that you see on their bulletin today, it would say that they risked because they knew the love of the master. They knew that that master entrusted them with that money. They knew the master thought they could do something with it, and they did. That the master's care made them brave, made them have an imagination to see what that talent could do. Could it be that we too have God's love for us, and then we can do things that are risky? Because did you notice God didn't say to the one who earned 5 talents, I love you better than the one that earned 2? No. He said, both of you are good and trustworthy. God is not impressed by how much we have, but that we use what we have, that we share what we have. Willimon says it this way, we who know Christ have an enormous, uncountable, unimaginable treasure in Jesus. The only catch is with this treasure, the only way to keep it is we have to give it away. when it comes back doubled and tripled in form of others who come to love and know Jesus, that's the treasure. So give, not because you have to, not because the treasurer gets up and says we're desperate, not because we'll say the church membership will decline if we don't give. No, give like you give to children, because you love them and you want to see them happy. Tell others about this treasure like you tell others about your favorite restaurant, your favorite movie, your favorite sports team. Tell it like you have no shame, like you can't help yourself. Give like you've been given to. Give in power and imagination. For the smallest gifts do amazing things. We just never know. There's a story told. It's another parable in some ways. It's a story told in 1876. Now, I know that's long ago, but even we aren't old enough to remember that day. And if you wonder if your little bit will not make a difference, remember this story. There's a place called the Taxbury Almshouse in Massachusetts. Now, an almshouse was where if you had no money, you went there. It was like a poorhouse. And in that went a little girl named Annie. Her mother died and her father deserted her. Her uncle and aunt found she was too much trouble, so they gave her to that poorhouse. And she was partially blind because of some eye things, trachoma, I think it's called. Well, she went into that poorhouse, and she was difficult to be around it. She went there because no one wanted her, and she became wild. But there was another inmate there named Maggie who saw that girl and decided that she would help her and talk to her and feed her, and it did not go easy. When Annie would get the food, she would throw it away. She rebelled with every piece of energy she had, but Maggie, who was a Christian, would not give up on this girl. She was convicted that this dirty, spiteful, unliving, loving little girl was worth something. And slowly she got through Annie and through her sufferings. Maggie had also was abandoned, so she knew what that pain was like. And gradually, Annie began to respond. Maggie told her about a school for the blind, and Annie began to beg to be sent there. And they talked to the folks that ran this almshouse, and they got her to this place. It was called the Perkins Institute. And she had some surgery on her eyes, and she could see a little bit. And she went to school, and she learned, and she graduated at the age of 20. She had been blind for so long that she knew what it was like, that she said to the director of that institute, "I want to work with girls that were as difficult as I was." And she was the worst. So they sent her down to Alabama, Massachusetts to Alabama, to live with a girl that was difficult. It was a girl who had become blind at deaf at age 2. So Annie Sullivan went down to Alabama, and she unlocked the door to Helen Keller's blindness and moved her to experience the world that she had never done before. A little girl named Annie and an unremembered woman named Maggie who loved her. It was the little giving an amazing amount. There is something about seeing the worth in people and being invested in them and risking for them. It means looking for the worth in people that others overlook. That's what we're called to do. The truth is, friends, we're going to risk and we're going to fail at how it happens. But God values the risk. God values the trying. God values us who see and experience his love and cannot be anything but ones who share it. I wonder what we might do with the gifts that God has entrusted to us. I wonder what it would be like if we really risked. So be it. Amen.